All right. Well, good morning. And we're going to jump right into the sermon here. So I want to welcome everybody that's here in person. We got about 100 people at the church. And we got, braving the what turns out to be relatively sunny right now. But just for the record, on my drive over here, I stopped coming down Wadsworth, slid for about 50 feet. If there was a car, I would have crushed it. Then I go two more blocks, and there's a snowplow coming in my lane at me because it went to turn left, and it just slid right through. I'm like, it's a little slippery. So I'm glad we canceled church, even though it's gorgeous out right now. So I just want to welcome you. My name is Hans Rasmussen, one of the evangelists here in the Denver Church of Christ, and it is great to be here together and together online. So we've spent the last 2 months of this year and the first 2 months of this year focused on our relationship with God. We've dug into this series on the book of Psalms called God of the Hills and Valleys. And so we spent time reading, we spent time praying, hopefully you spent some time fasting and just doing all those things together. And it was really helpful for me personally. And it was just a great way to start the year. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, when he was asked, hey, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing? This was his response. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. So what's he saying? He's saying, hey, this loving connection between you and God and others are really important, like the most important things. And so we're starting a brand new series today that I'm really excited about, and we're calling it Connection Lost. And so maybe, you know, if you were online for the first couple of minutes there or not online because we lost the connection, it was just an example of this, right? Like we're just trying to help you out with that a little bit and a little technical difficulties. Maybe it was just frozen up in there, but it seems to be working now. But connection lost, finding real community in a disconnected world. And I got a question for you. Have you ever been surrounded by people and still felt lonely? Have you ever been texting throughout the day with maybe multiple people, but you feel totally disconnected? Or maybe online, you got a bunch of friends for social media, but no one that you could call to come help you clean an overflowing toilet? Because, I mean, there's like friends, and then there's poo water friends, right? And I'm honored, like, I have gotten multiple calls from people saying, I have poo water, I need your help. But the advantage of that is I have multiple people that I can call and say, bro, I got poo water, I need your help. And if you don't have those kind of friends, you're disconnected. And we believe as a church that with God, even in a disconnected world, that genuine connection is still possible. And over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about how you can connect to people in real and meaningful ways and how we can overcome some of these pitfalls that keep us from connecting as God intended. So I thought it would be fun to have a little audience participation, even though we have 700 households watching online, so way more than we have here. So it's a workout great. So grab your phone. Everybody likes to use their phone in church anyways, because then they can pretend like they're doing something and check whatever. So you grab your phone and you go to menti.com, M-E-T-I.com, and you're going to put in that code 386088. Now, you don't need a space. You can put a space, but you don't need a space. But they separate it out so you can do that. And the question that I'm asking there is, what helps you build connection with other people? And we're going to build a word cloud that we'll show here in a little bit. But what are some of the words, maybe a one word or a short answer? It only gives you 25 characters, so it's going to be short. But what's something that you think, you go, hey, as I think about this, this is what helps me build connection. Build a connection and community. And from the very beginning, God created us in community for community. He created us in connection for connection. In Genesis chapter 1, right at the very beginning, he says this. In Genesis chapter 1, the next slide, when it comes up, Genesis 1, 26 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. God saying, hey, let's create this together. And it's God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit together in fellowship, in community, in connection. And I think part of what God means by this is that we're made in God's image with the capacity for connection. Because God created human beings and then he said, hey, it isn't good for man to be alone. Paul paints the same picture that this need for connection in his writings to the church at Ephesus. He says, being rooted and established in love. Because I want you to have those roots deep in connection and in community. John Ortberg talks about it this way. He says, when a tree puts roots into the ground, those roots are able to take in nutrients and water. And the tree grows and has life and strength, but only if it's rooted. In the same way, we are rooted and our souls are nourished in the love of God and the love of other people. We experience this both physically and emotionally when we connect with somebody. Think about the Bible. It is just filled with stories of people connecting, this idea of human connection. You picture David and his best buddy Jonathan in the Old Testament. And then the Apostle Paul and his traveling companion Barnabas in the New Testament. It seems that Jesus was well aware of this plague of disconnectedness when he reached out to people like Matthew the tax collector, or Zacchaeus the short guy, the public servant in the tree, or the woman caught in adultery. Jesus connected with people. But just picture this, like you're walking down the street, someone you know, you see them and you're like, do I know them, do I not? And there's a big smile on their face. Like you go, oh, there's that connection. And you feel, oh, I got it. And so we can connect through words. We can connect through listening. We can connect through touch. We can connect through praying together. And I think whenever there's an exchange of genuine caring, it's as if the roots of our soul are getting fed. And every life has to have connection. If we're not connected, we die. And so maybe you're asking, is connection really necessary? Like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm kind of a loner. I don't need that. Right? And in moments of frustration, we've probably all felt that. But a British scientist named Donald Winnicott, found that children who play in close proximity to their mother are more creative than children playing at a distance from her. Winnicott found that children are naturally inventive, curious, and more likely to take risks in what might be called a circle of connectedness. When they're within this circle, they take more risks. They show more energy. If they fall down, they're more likely to get up. They laugh more than children who are outside the circle. Well, why? The mom's not doing it for them. The mom's not doing something that he should do for himself. She's not solving any problems. She's not generating the ideas. She's just present. And so this, when love is present, when a child feels safe and cared for in her presence, something gets released in his life. She gets a little stronger. He gets a little bolder and more creative. And I think love releases that child that would otherwise be dormant and unseen. It releases a life in that child. And it's just amazing. And connection is not the same thing as knowing many people, right? Because people may have a bunch of contacts in their networks, but they may not have any friends at all. But when you feel loved, and it's not just that you're receiving more from someone else. I think you become more of who God created you to be. You become more of your true self too. And love and connection brings the power to help me become the me that God created me to be and that I want to be. And I think loving people, myself loving other people, literally gives life. It's that kind of connection that we're talking about. It's those roots that dig deep. And that's what God created each of us for. And we flourish when we're connected to God and to others. But we languish. We suffer. We're just lonely when we're disconnected. What's really interesting is a bunch of research is showing recently that emotionally isolated people are more prone to depression, anxiety, loneliness, low self-esteem, substance abuse, sexual addiction in general, and difficulties with eating disorders and sleeping. by just not having a community, by not having a connection. And I think, you know, physically, there's destructive aspects to isolation. Even animals that are isolated experience extensive sclerosis in their arteries. It's hardening and narrowing of that than animals that are not isolated. One of the articles I was reading, we talked about this researcher who had a dog and a cat. And he said, the dog and the cat hated each other, fought for 10 years. And it was always the cat that was picking on the dog. I don't know. That's just what I heard. But it says, then one year the cat died and the dog didn't want to eat. Day after day, the dog wouldn't eat until 6 weeks later, the dog died. And he said, that is the power of connection. And people who are socially disconnected are between 2 and 5 times more likely to die from any cause than those who have close family, friends, or other relationships. People who have bad health habits like cigarette smoking, overeating, elevated blood pressure, physical inactivity, but who still remain connected, live longer than people with good health habits that are disconnected. I want us to watch a 2-minute TED Talk together. And it's 20 minutes long altogether. It's on YouTube. It's from Susan Pinkerton, Pinker, and it's The Secret to Living a Long Life, Maybe Your Social Life. So let's watch this together.
What reduced their chances of dying the most? That was her question. So let's now look at her data in summary, going from the least powerful predictor to the strongest, okay?
Oh,
so clean air, which is great, it doesn't predict how long you will live. Whether you have your hypertension treated is good, still not a strong predictor. Whether you're lean or overweight, you can stop feeling guilty about this because it's only in third place. How much exercise you get is next, still only a moderate predictor. Whether you've had a cardiac event and you're in rehab and exercising, getting higher now. Whether you've had a flu vaccine, did anybody here know that having a flu vaccine protects you more than doing exercise? Whether you were drinking and quit, or whether you're a moderate drinker, whether you don't smoke, or if you did, whether you quit. And getting towards the top predictors are two features of your social life. First, your close relationships. These are the people that you can call on for a loan if you need money suddenly, who will call the doctor if you're not feeling well, or who will take you to the hospital, or who will sit with you if you're having an existential crisis, if you're in despair. Those people, that little clutch of people, are a strong predictor, if you have them, of how long you'll live. And then something that surprised me, something that's called social integration. This means how much you interact with people as you move through your day. How many people do you talk to? And these mean both your weak and your strong bonds. So not just the people you're really close to who mean a lot to you, but like, do you talk to the guy who every day makes you your coffee? Do you talk to the postman? Do you talk to the woman who walks by your house every day with her dog? Do you play bridge or poker or have a book club? Those interactions are one of the strongest predictors of how long you live.
All right. There was a lot of people excited that a flu shot is more effective than exercise, at least here. I don't know what it was like in your living room. But isn't it interesting? I mean, far and away, the biggest predictor of how long you're going to live is relationships. And not even just the close relationships, just talking to people in general. It's amazing. And scientists are starting to figure out what God has told us from the very beginning and has been reminding us for thousands of years, that it is not good for us to be alone. And what is amazing to me is that just talking to somebody is good for our health. How much more when we're really talking to somebody, getting in there deep, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and saying, hey, man, you can be saved and your life can be different. I go, man, we're excited about that. But even in that, you go, hey, sharing my faith is good for my health and it's good for their eternity. So we should do that more often, right? And I just go, we're giving life and we're getting life. So we're going to look here quick at this, that word cloud, which we kind of got blown up on that thing. We have 200 and something responses, so I don't even know if we're able to see it. But so I pulled it up on my laptop, so at least I can read some of them to you. But the number, yeah, it's a little blurry, and there's still more coming in. But the number one thing, so what happens is the more people say one of the words, the bigger it gets. And so the biggest word in there is just vulnerability. Time, trust, love, quality time. Poo water is there. Quality time. And I just go so many different things that are so great. Playing together, self-sacrifice, prayer, confidence, that we're centered on God, that we're sharing our faith together, face-to-face, fun, struggles, kids, mutual respect. And I go, which of these builds connection? Yup. All of it. I go, some of those are good, some of those are bad, some of them are ugly. And yet they still help us live life together and create connection. And so that's what helps us. And connection helps us live longer. It helps us to be happier. It helps us to be joyful. It helps us to be healthier. And so let's look at a few scriptures about what being connected does for us spiritually. Because those researchers are just figuring it out now. But God's been telling us for a really long time. So the first thing that we're going to look at, the benefit of being connected, is this. That loving connection helps us walk in the light. And I think this is really important. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this. It says, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. I go, this is huge. Because studies show that when we're living in isolation, walking in the darkness, we're more likely to give in to temptation and discouragement. We're more likely to become self-absorbed. We're more likely to spend money in selfish ways. And not only do we suffer when we live in a disconnected life, other people who God has put in our lives suffer because they're being cheated out of the life that we could have together, the connection we could have together that God created us for. But when we're connected, studies show that the rate of suicide and drug abuse goes way down. And maybe you look and go, I'm not sure how to do that. I've never been taught how to make connections. I'm not even sure where to start. Well, a great place to start is just in one of our community groups that's all over the Denver metro area, all the way from Castle Rock up to Frederick and Longmont. I go, we got them all over the place, up in the mountains, all the way out east by the airport, almost to Kansas. And if you want more information about that, you can talk to the person that brought you, or you can get online at the website, denverchurchofchrist.org, and send an email, or there's a, you know, find a family group or a community group right there. Or maybe you go, man, I've been around for a while and I used to be connected, and something happened. I'm stuck, I've drifted, I'm just not sure what to do. And we've got a great resource for that. There's a 9-week session called In Motion. And the South has been doing that at LifeSource for a couple of weeks, and we're starting a brand new session here at Arvada next Sunday. And it's going to be great. And I think learning a safe place to learn how to get connected and to be changed by the power of Jesus. If you go, I'm just not where I want to be. I want to grow. It's a great opportunity just in a safe environment to be able to do that. Because we were all designed to flourish in connection with one another. And the first spiritual benefit there is just connection, as it helps us walk in the light. The second benefit is this. Loving connection shows the world that we're true disciples of Jesus. John chapter 13, verse 35. A lot of us know this one, right? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It takes love to be connected, right? It takes that heart to be in there. And our connection with each other can be a light to the world. It's one of the ways that we can spread the good news. We got to open our mouth and not just go, well, I hope they get it by seeing my life. It's a lot easier if you open your mouth and say, hey, here's how God helps me. But we still can be a light that way and help it be obvious that we're connected to God and connected to each other. You know, what's really interesting for me is one of the ways that I first saw this was not normally how you would picture about loving one another. Because I think we have this image sometimes in our head that loving each other or loving one another means, oh, I'm perfect all the time. I never mess up, right? The thing that stands out most to me in this is when the first midweek thing I came to is at CU Boulder, go Buffs. And I went to a midweek lesson there, and we're kind of milling around, and we're getting ready to start. And I don't know what these two guys had going on, but I was like, ooh, they're going to tussle. And I thought they were going to fight. And being who I am, I was kind of excited. So I'm like, you know, like, let's get it on. And so I'm picturing a fist fight, and one of the other brothers jumps in there, and, you know, he's like, what are you guys doing? You need to cut out. You need to go pray and repent and come back when you're happy. And I'm like, okay, you know, so they go off and they come back and they're both crying and they're apologizing. And I was like, what just happened? It wasn't like all perfect. It was, well, they kind of are like living out the scriptures in a way that I'd never seen before. And I see, I think God doesn't call us to be perfect. He just calls us to deal with our junk in a spiritual way. And so you mess up. Well, you sometimes you need to cry and apologize. And you just need to be changed by God. Because we can be a light, not by being perfect, but by being real and making Jesus Lord of our life and of our emotions. All right, so the third benefit is this. Loving connections is one of the best ways that we can live out the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Okay, so a lot of these things you can't do by yourself. You need to have somebody that you connect with. Because I go, what's he talking about with like that forbearance or patience or showing kindness to somebody? He's not talking about doing that for ourselves. He's talking about doing it with other people. You go, oh, I got to be kind to somebody. I got to bear with them. It's really easy when it's just me because I can tell me what to do. And sometimes I listen, right? But other people, no, we have to learn how to do this and live out those fruits of the Spirit. And we need healthy connection to be at peace with each other. Who do we show kindness to? It's other people, right? It's having that community. So where do we go from here? How can we be more connected with each other? Because it's not just about hearing a sermon here at Arvada or in your home, but it's being changed, right? Because there's a million different ways, but we need to start somewhere. And so what we want to do is encourage every member of the church and every person who's hearing this, if they want to take this lesson and take on a challenge to grow in connecting to other people. And our leadership group has been talking about this since last year. Like, how do we figure this out? What do we do? And how do we help people be more connected? And we felt like one of the areas we need to grow is these one another relationships. And not just like, oh yeah, I saw you on Sunday. Hey. That kind of one another relationship. But like the roll up your sleeves, poo water kind of relationships that says, no matter what it costs me, if you need me, I'm coming. It's part of the Ranger motto, right? That I'm coming and I want to be there and I want to connect with you. Not just in the nice way, but when it's tough. And I think we understand what it's going to take, and I think we understand what it's going to cost. Especially if you've been a Christian for a really long time. Do you remember what the schedule was like back in the day? We were connected a lot. And I go, how come I don't have those friendships? How come I don't have those relationships? How come I feel lonely? Well, man, if I'm not connected, I'm probably feeling disconnected. It's so easy, but it's so hard sometimes to understand why we're where we're at. There's 100 times in 94 verses that the Bible talks about being together with one another. And it's very clearly the heart of Jesus. And let's be honest, for a lot of us, we can be a little rusty at this. And we need to grow and we need to change. We need to imitate Jesus. I need to grow. I need to imitate Jesus in this more. So we came up with this idea. And now this isn't like the end goal, the vision at the end. It's like a starting point because we're like, what could every single person do to help us build communities and reach communities? We got to start someplace. So we started with John chapter 15 of this command of to love one another. And we came up with this idea of 1-5. One another relationships for 5 minutes a day. You're like, that's pathetic. Well, try to do it. It's a little tougher than you would think. We've been talking to the leaders. We talked about it at midweek in the north here a couple weeks ago. But what would it look like if each member of the church spent 5 minutes each day putting into practice any of the one another scriptures? Well, I think there'd be a lot more encouragement. There'd be a lot more humility. There'd be a lot more spurring one another towards love and good deeds. There'd be building each other up. There'd be teaching each other. I go, what a helpful starting point, just to connect with somebody. You go, man, I just haven't talked to them in a while, and I just want to connect and encourage them. And maybe you're looking at that going, hey, you know, how can it be? Go, well, you rise up. You go and go, I'm going to do 15 minutes a day. Awesome. Come on, crank it. Roll those sleeves up and get in there. But we're just calling every member to spend 5 minutes a day working on one another relationships. Maybe that's a text. Maybe that's a call. Maybe that's a let's have coffee. But just to be consistent in that. Because in Genesis, it says, hey, come let us create man in our image. We were created in community for community. But let's end in Revelation chapter 7, because it's bookmarked. It starts in the very beginning, goes right to the very end. In Revelation chapter 7, it says this. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We're called to be connected right here. And we're going to be connected for all eternity because of what Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, did for us. By substituting himself for our sin and our separation from God. He is that atoning sacrifice, the perfect Lamb, the friend to the lonely, and the Savior who all who accept him and respond to the message. And as we take communion, I want you to really think, do you have the kind of connections that are going to get you to heaven? Do you have the kind of connections that are going to get you happily to heaven? Or are you looking going, man, I hope I make it. I hope I don't walk away because I just feel discouraged and frustrated and stuck. It starts with connection with God and connection with others. And it is why Jesus came, to be that sacrifice, to die for our sins, so that we could be connected to God for all eternity. And as I read this scripture, I go, man, I want as many people as possible there with me. Every tribe, every nation, every people, every community of every generation, that they're connected to God and to one another. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we take communion, as we connect with you, I'm so grateful for that connection that you started right in the beginning. And God, shortly after you created man and said it wasn't good for them to be alone, we went our own way. We sinned. We separated ourselves from you. And God, Adam and Eve made that decision, and we've made that decision, and yet you love us, and you pull us back, and you want nothing more than for us to be restored and connected back to you. And Father, I pray that right now, as we take communion, that we can remember that connection that you want for us, and that you've given so much for us to have. Help us, Father, to be connected to you, and be connected with one another. Help us to take seriously this idea and this command from your word, to live out these one another scriptures. Help us to spend 5 minutes a day working on these one another relationships, and just as a starting point, help us get into the practice of what eternity is going to be like, of being connected to you, our Creator, and connected to each other in an amazing way. Lord, we love you. We're thankful that we could be here together. We're thankful that the gift of technology, that we could just commune together with you all around the Denver metro area and around the world. Grateful, Father, for this time. Pray this all in Jesus' name.